States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we're going to be hearing from Gwen Poulin, Rebecca Norman, and Candy Platz, all of whom won top honours at the US Dressage Finals presented by Adequan this year. But first, we begin with news of the L programme, which has several new Part 1 sessions that have been approved for 2016. These programmes will be held in Florida, Arizona, Mississippi, and Massachusetts, and the Part 1 is open to all USDF members and is the educational foundation of the programme, which is valuable to anyone interested in dressage. The Part 1 consists of 3 weekends of in-depth study, with sessions that include lectures and live demonstrations. The topics also include horse and rider biomechanics, judging criteria for movements, equitation, and how to evaluate correct training. To learn more about the L Education Program, please visit the website and look for the L Program page. And to find a program that fits your schedule, please check the USDF Education Calendar. And now to our first guest this week. Gwen Poulin rode Belinda Nahn Wertmann's William to beat her father Michael Poulin on a score of 68.553% to win the Grand Prix Open Championship, and she was also the first to be awarded the Veronica Holt Perpetual Trophy at this year's US Dressage Finals presented by Adequan. Gwen, welcome to the programme.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, we want to talk about your partnership with Belinda Nahn Wertmann's William and obviously your result there at the US Dressage Finals presented by Adequan. Was that a personal best for you with this horse?
Yes, it certainly was. That's his sixth Grand Prix, and it was definitely a very big win for us.
How long have you been riding him?
About 2.5 years.
And how did that partnership come about?
I had gotten to know Belinda, and I had looked at some sale horses of hers, and I had actually purchased a young weanling from her. And she just called me one day and said that she had this horse, and she thought it might be a good fit for me and the way I rode. And would I be interested in taking him and riding him? And I said, sure, send him on over. And she did.
So tell us about his breeding. What his breed is and his breeding.
He is a Dutch warm blood. He is by the sire Sir Sinclair, who stands at Ironton Farm. And it's very interesting about William is that he is from the very first foal crop of Sir Sinclair. So all of the Sir Sinclair babies are all turning 12 this year, and so William was the last foal born. Sir Sinclair's first foal crop. So it's kind of exciting, I think, for Sir Sinclair that, you know, William is doing so well.
And you said you've done a few Grand Prix with him already. When did his Grand Prix career begin, and how has he been going since then?
It began in March of this year. I showed him down at in Wellington at the Global Festival, and he did very well his first time out. He got a 69 both days. And then I did one other show in between. And then after that, I took him to the regional championships and showed him once there. And then I took him to the national finals. And he was he's just been getting better and better. He's still, he's still very green, but it's coming along very nicely.
So how old is he now?
He's 12. He just turned 12 in August.
So what did this win mean to you and to Belinda in terms of the horse's career?
Well, it's definitely exciting because Belinda's always known that he was very brilliant, and he's a little extra sensitive, and she felt he just needed a certain type of personality to really, you know, bring his brilliance out, I guess. And I guess I seem to fit with his personality. We really seem to click. So she's very excited, and as am I, because I have such a nice horse to ride. And I really enjoy him a lot. And I'm excited because he just continues to improve.
When you say his personality, how would you describe that and his work ethic and how he's come up through the levels, Gwen?
He has got a tremendous heart. He will go and go and go. He's very businesslike in the fact that he gets right to it when I ask him to do things. There's no silly business. He's not distracted very easily. He's very much in tune with me, and when I, you know, ask for something, he's very much, okay, what is it that you want? And he's like, okay, I can do that. It's very businesslike is the way I like to describe it. So in the stable, he's a love. He's everybody's favorite. He's very, very friendly. He's very talkative. He loves his treats. After he gets them, he sucks on his lip and on his tongue, and it's really adorable.
And in terms of now his winter career, what going forward to the winter season down there in Wellington, what is the plans for this for the horse in the short term and going into 2016, Gwen?
The plan is to continue showing him. I'm going to show him in 2 weeks. And I have some other shows lined up down in Wellington to do. And I don't get too far ahead of myself. I just sort of go at William's pace. Each show, I reevaluate what I need to do to help improve and decide, do I need to stay home and train that a little bit more? Or is this something that we need to get into the show ring and work on out there? So basically, William really does determine how everything goes. You know, I just listen to him in terms of his response every time I show him, and then that makes my next decision a little bit clearer on basically where to take him, what show to take him to, or should I just stay home and train some more.
And you also took home the Veronica Holt Perpetual Trophy, so that must have been a special bonus for you too, Gwen.
Yes, it certainly was. She was a wonderful lady, and very much always a strong presence here on the Florida show circuit. So to have my name first on that trophy is quite an honor.
And also, of course, there is the family rivalry. You beat your father, Michael, in that class too. How did that go down?
That was really fun. it was fun warming up with him. It seemed a lot like we were just at home, you know, because it was for a long period of time, it was just him and I in the warm-up arena warming up. And it's very fun. My father is very playful, and there's a lot of joking. And it was exciting because, you know, he is one of my inspirations. So, you know, if I can do as good as my dad, that's exciting.
Well, again, congratulations on winning the Grand Prix Open Championship at this year's finals, Gwen, and thank you for coming on the program.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Our next guest is Rebecca Norman, who won the Intermediate One Open Championship on her own Rocky Lane with a score of 70.132. That also earned her the Lloyd Lankhammer Perpetual Trophy for the highest score earned by a mare at the FEI level at the US Dressage Finals presented by Adequan. And she joins us now from her training base in Ohio. Well, first of all, congratulations. That's quite a win.
Yes, it was a very exciting weekend for us.
You must be absolutely thrilled and proud of the mare, which now I understand she's schooling at Grand Prix, so an exciting future for her. But let's first of all give everyone an idea of your operation. You're a professional in Ohio. Explain to everyone what it is you do and how many horses you have.
I have a stable. We have about 24 horses. I have a nice group of adult amateurs and juniors that I coach and help them achieve their goals. I have everyone from walk trots up to schooling Grand Prix. So I have a wide range of people, and I really enjoy helping them.
How long have you been in the sport, Rebecca?
I have been in the dressage sport for over 20 years.
Now, this mare is yours, Rocky Lane. How did you meet her?
I met her. I also import horses from Germany. I go to Germany to find unique horses that are unique in breeding, rideability, and gaits that I import to the U.S., mostly for ambitious amateurs looking for the next dressage partner. So I found Rocky on one of those shopping trips 4 years ago at the Westphalian Elite Auction.
And how is she bred?
She is by Rock Forever, which he is proving to be an incredible sire. There are many horses that are competing at the FEI levels that he has made.
And what about the dam side?
She is by Rika, out of Rika by a Rombach mare.
And she's coming 10 now, so at a perfect age, and obviously reached her peak in the I-1. Winning those open championships must have been a career highlight for you, Rebecca.
It was a career highlight, and it was special also because all of the horses in that division were very good horses. I'm friends with many of the riders of those horses, and again, very good riders that I have tremendous respect for. But she was really on that day. She was with me. She's a powerful mare. And so there's always a balance between making that power and keeping the relaxation going. So that's what we were able to do that day. And I was incredibly proud of her.
Well, with that winning score of 70.13, was that a personal best?
It was not our personal best and score-wise, but I feel that that class was definitely our best I-1 we've ever ridden.
In terms of her career so far and where you are in training with her, obviously at the cusp of Grand Prix now, so how would you define this compared to her previous tests?
Her previous tests, it's always, like I said, she's very brilliant. She's very strong. Sometimes she's overachieving. It's been, you know, when you're schooling the Grand Prix, it's easy to slip in a couple ones when you're trying to do twos. And, you know, there can be some miscommunications. And mares, I think, always a little bit anticipate. They're so smart. They kind of think they know what's coming next. So she has to wait for me and not anticipate the next movement so much. And I think that's kind of a challenge with mares.
So you have to ask and not tell her.
Oh, yes. We definitely have a relationship that's quite different than many of the other horses I ride.
Is this just exactly the way you had hoped her career would evolve, Rebecca? And where will you take her in the future? What is your long-term plan for her?
Well, to be honest, she is a horse. Normally when I import horses, I don't keep them as long as I have kept her. In the very beginning, I knew she was very talented. She was 5 years old when I purchased her, and she was a little behind in the training at five. She canter was not developed so much. She always had great balance, but not always knew where her legs were. And as she's gotten older and we've introduced Piaf Passage, it's really helped with the collection. So that being said, I'm very happy with where she is now. I am going to keep her to do the Grand Prix with her. And then I really do think that she should be an international type horse, CD. She should do CDIs. Hopefully one day there'll be a rider that can take her that direction, as that is something that I'm not able to do with my family life and my business here in Ohio.
So in the short term, then, what will you do this winter and in 2016 in terms of Grand Prix schedule? Because you're based in Ohio, so a different choice to those riders in the South who may be in Florida for the winter, less opportunities for her. So you probably have to schedule your season a little bit differently, don't you, to develop this mare?
Right. It's difficult because if you want to do the national programs like the Developing Grand Prix, that starts January 1st, and most people that go to Florida are able to start that time of year. Our first qualifiers up here normally do not start until May. So you always feel like going into spring, you're a little disadvantaged because you feel like you're kind of scrambling to catch up and get your qualifying scores in. to be able to be qualify for the national championship. So we'll take the winner, we'll train, and it's always, of course, January, February, always a struggle with the weather. So hopefully in March she'll be ready and have the strength to go ahead and compete at the Grand Prix.
Do you train with anyone, Rebecca?
I do. Alfredo Hernandez has helped me a lot with the Piaf and Passage. I owe him, I have great gratitude towards him because he's really been helpful in helping me develop her.
What are your career goals then, with or without the mare?
Oh, goodness. I want to continue importing horses. I have super client base here that I enjoy helping them achieve their goals. And of course, I have my family that I balance with all of this. That is very important to me as well.
Who are some of your clients that we should be looking out for, Rebecca?
Well, I have a few that have some really nice horses coming up. Martina Miner has had great success with her horse. She went to regionals at Pre-St. George and I-1, also qualified for finals. And we have an upcoming horse Samantha Burkhofer owns. He is now on the cusp of starting to do third level, developing more collection. It's always interesting because a lot of the people I have, it's their first trip up the levels. So when you're helping them train their own horse that they have had, you know, basically since training level, it's always a journey. And it's always, you know, it's a hard road to go for an amateur to train their own horse up to the FEI. So I really enjoy that. I have a few that are doing it, and it's always a real high to get them there.
Well, I'm sure that there is a challenge with being based in Ohio over the winter. Presumably, you have an indoor arena.
Well, we have a very nicely attached, insulated indoor arena. It's not heated, but Ohio winters, you know, usually are doable if you have an attached indoor ring. It's not so bad. I mean, we can work the horses, you know, it can be 18 degrees outside and we can still work them pretty comfortably inside.
Well, I'm sure the focus will be on the spring season and bringing the mare back out for her developing Grand Prix career. And obviously celebrating, I hope, your win there at the US Dressage Finals with the Intermediate 1 Open Championship title. And also we should mention winning the Lloyd Lankhammer Perpetual Trophy for the highest score earned by a mare at the FEI level during the finals. So that must have been a nice bonus for you as well to take home.
It was an incredible bonus. I knew Lloyd. This award, I think it's special to recognize the mares in our sport. You know, mares, sometimes people view them as difficult, harder to train. But I also believe mares are really good and you get them on your side and they will work hard for you.
Well, you certainly found the right tune with this mare. Congratulations again on that win at the finals and good luck with her and the rest of your career.
Thank you so much.
And our final guest is Candy Platz, who, with the 11-year-old American Warmbird Gelding Finn, won the Reserve Championship title in the Grand Prix Freestyle Championship for Adult Amateurs on a score of 66.750. Candy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's great to be here.
Well, first of all, congratulations on that win at the US Dressage Finals. What does that mean to you in terms of the Gelding's career so far?
Well, we're really thrilled with Finn. I mean, this is his third trip to the finals. He's been third every time that he's gone in the ring, the first year at the Grand Prix, the second year at the Grand Prix and the Grand Prix Freestyle. And this year, once again in the Grand Prix, we were third. And I posted on social media that, you know, I'm very grateful to be getting a sash that gets me a picture with George Williams. But it would have hurt my feelings if we could get a red sash this time. So I guess Finn was listening. So it was a real thrill. It was a thrill. It was great.
Well, you've had him for quite a few years now. He's what, turned 11. But his story is really one for, I think, all of us. How he came into your life was very special.
That's true. And I have to thank Michelle Gibson, one of our Olympians, for making that contact. When she met me, I was struggling to bring a very cute but not enormously talented Lipizzaner to the Grand Prix, and we'd gotten to the intermediaire, and just the Grand Prix was eluding us, but I said, we got to try. So she said, I get it. He's not ideal, but he's what you have, and she was great. But then she heard about Finn coming on the market, and she told me about him, and I contacted the seller immediately, and she sent me back a picture, which was not typical of most sellers. She sent me a picture of the horse lying in a freshly bedded stall with his head in her lap. And I said, oh boy, am I in trouble. I was born for this horse. So I flew out immediately, never saw a video, never saw anything else. I flew out immediately, took one look at him. I said, if I can ride him, I'm going to buy him. And I did. And have never regretted one moment or one penny since.
Well, he has a little bit more to his background than that, doesn't he? For those who are familiar with the PMU system, explain a little bit about that, Candy.
Sure. There's a drug called Premarin, which stands for pregnant mare urine. It's been used, it's a classic drug for treating female menopause symptoms. The year that Finn was born, the studies came out that this drug was actually contributing to breast cancer in women. And of course, as you can imagine, the bottom fell out of that market. The market that I'm talking about is factory farming of mare's urine. They produce urine from pregnant mares, similarly to how they produce milk from cattle that have given birth. But in this case, the mare produces the desired urine before she gives birth. The foals from this union, or this production, are considered bycatch. They're considered a byproduct and not sought after in any way. In fact, the fate of virtually all the males was to go immediately to slaughter, and I believe by law that was at 5 months of age. They had to leave them with their moms or allow them to be alive till 5 months, and at 5 months, they round them up and ship them to slaughter. A few of the lucky girls are allowed to be replacements for their moms, but again, the vast majority went immediately to slaughter. And this is an industry that had quite well established. The bottom kind of fell out of it back then because of this study, and so it was an especially dangerous time to be born a PMU foal. There were rescues that would go into the farms and pick the most likely looking individuals for whatever reasons and put them on internet with the hopes of enticing somebody to sponsor and rescue these horses. Finney was literally in line to be loaded on the trucks when a wonderful woman named Adair Heisted and her husband decided to rescue a foal in memory of their aunt who had died of breast cancer and was a horse breeder. She turned to her husband and said, I can't pick one. These pictures are too small. I can't tell anything. And her husband said, I don't know either. And Adair said, look, the rest of them are going to die. We got to do something. We're running out of time. So he said, I don't know, the one with the funny mark on his forehead. So the split between his star and his strip literally saved Finney's life. And he came to America and with a chain of three women total came into my life, including, and then Michelle, of course, was the midwife of that situation.
Well, we should explain that system was very often practiced in Canada, and hence a lot of people on the West Coast were rescuing these Premarin foals for a long time now. So it became an inexpensive way to rescue a horse, too.
Yeah, relatively speaking. I mean, I think I have the paper that came with Finney. I have, you know, the bill of lading, as it were. But it's not as inexpensive as you might think. Relative to the dressage world, yes, but is still, I think he was $350, and then there was a big shipping bill, and then the whole group of foals that he came in with, I think there were five, one or two of them got strangled, so they had to be isolated for a year, and it's a lot for people to do this. It's a real commitment, and my hat's off to people that take an unknown baby of unknown parentage and make that commitment. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, clearly it worked for you, and and dressage was something you were always going to do with him. How did he shape up as a young horse then, Candy?
I actually did not buy him until he was 8 years old. When he was a baby, he was worked with by another fabulous woman named Kath Holloway. And Kath was a aficionado of natural horsemanship. And I give her credit for teaching this horse how to think. His mind is incredible. And it's also his heritage. He's probably quarter horse Belgian cross, although we don't know that for sure. And both of those breeds are bred to be extremely cooperative and work independently along with human beings. So that is his heritage. But I truly believe that Kath opened this horse's mind and heart. When he was 4 years old, he was a children's riding horse at a Christian summer camp in Ohio. And Adair, who still owned him, recognized that he was special because, as well as Kath, and she approached her veterinarian when the horse was five and said, "I really think that your wife, who is a dressage rider, would be really interested in him." Well, Carrie came, and she was in, you know, he was a cute little horse, so she rode him, and then she went home and kind of forgot about him. She's got a busy family. And again, Adair called her back and said, "I really wish you could take this horse." So Carrie went back. She tried the horse again, and she said, "He just wasn't normal. He remembered everything I taught him in that little meeting that we had as if it were yesterday. I've never had a horse that remembered like that." So she brought him home, started working with him, but he wouldn't canter one way. He would only canter on one lead. She could not get him to canter on the other lead. So in desperation, she took him to a clinic, and the clinician was kind of stumped, and she said, "I don't know, ask him for a flying change, see what happens." Well, he changed, and then he changed back, and all of a sudden he wasn't for sale anymore. And when he was 5 years old, his formal dressage training started with Carrie. And when he was eight, he entered the Grand Prix dressage ring and earned her gold medal. And at that point, for family reasons primarily, she decided to sell him. And that's when he became available to me. And that's when our partnership began.
Well, he's registered as an American Warmblood, and he has some very fancy asterisks behind his name because he is obviously very accomplished. The more you get, the more impressive it becomes with all of those. How many is he due, and how many do you use?
He's due three, and he earned them de facto just by being who he is. Three is the maximum that a performance horse can have. If you need five, you need to be a breeding horse as well as a performing horse, and that's not really an option for Finn unless we're cloning him, and that's not really in the cards.
And of course, being a gelding as well, is this something that he would wear those badges anyway, despite the fact that he's not being used for breeding?
Well, they actually asked me not to use the five stars. They asked me to use the three because of the designation. So we stick with three. And, so three stars after his name means that he's a truly, he's made an extraordinary contribution to the registry and is an exemplary individual. So we like that.
What were the highlights of his career before this year's finals, Candy?
Well, it just keeps coming. He just keeps hitting the mark, you know. He took me down the center line at Grand Prix. Excuse me, the first time, and earned me my gold medal scores the first two times I rode him down the center line. He's been FEI champion, FEI adult amateur champion. I mean, he keeps hitting at various shows, at big shows. He's gotten me to, we made it to regionals every time, every year. When the worst we've placed at regionals is third. We've qualified for nationals. This is the third year, hoping for one more year before they move the nationals competition to the West Coast or to Colorado, I guess. I guess it's still an uphill climb, so the highlights just keep coming. This was a highlight. Before that, the last ride was a highlight. He's astounding.
And that score of 66.75, was that a personal best for him?
No, but the scoring at at the big competitions is more rigorous. I mean, theoretically, we get judged by the same. No, he's gotten scores well into the 70s. And I guess I could say, I don't know if we were that much better that time, or if the, you know, the judging was a little bit less strenuous. I think the judging for me is good feedback, but I know what we're working on. I have a terrific coach, and we have marks that we're trying to hit, and the ultimate performance hasn't happened yet. You know, our penultimate has a performance because it's he's still a young Grand Prix horse, and I'm still relatively green. This is my only Grand Prix horse, so I'm learning. Every time we kick it up a notch, I'm learning something new too, and my learning curve is as steep, if not steeper, than his. So we're climbing the hill together. So there has been no penultimate moment. We're looking forward to that coming up in the next years.
And I was going to ask you, actually, who you do coach with, Candy?
I coach with a woman named Ruth Hogan Poulsen. Ruth is a terrific coach and a great match for me. She's very, very intelligent. She has infinite patience, but also high expectations, which is a very good combination. She's out of Vermont, Plainfield, Vermont, in the winter. I mean, the summer, Maine, in New England summer, and in Wellington here in the winter. So I live in Maine, and that makes it more accessible for me to be able to continue to work with her. Ruth is probably best known right now as the coach for the Challenge of the Americas team that is quite often victorious when she coaches them, and she is the designer of Musical Freestyle. So she is the designer of the freestyle that I took to Nationals. We're planning to bring out a new freestyle this spring. But she's terrific at that too. So it's wonderful to be coached by the person that built the freestyle. And obviously, as a choreographer and designer of freestyles for this very illustrious charity organization, that's one of the highlights of the Wellington season. She knows her stuff. She's really good. Very accomplished woman.
Well, as reserve champions in that Grand Prix freestyle for adult amateurs, you clearly had the music right there. So what does it tell us about Finn that you're changing the music for next season, Candy? What suits him, and what are you feeling you need? Do you just need a new look, new feel?
No, that's a great question. When we started off in the freestyle, I had never done a freestyle before, not at any other level. So talk about jumping into the deep end of the pool. My first time down the center line, waving to the music, you know, and waving to them to start the music, was at Grand Prix. So the freestyle that we chose allowed me to be learning without looking like an amateur, if I can say it. The music is very sweet, it's very lyrical, it's very personal, and my expression of our relationship in that first freestyle that we did was designed deliberately to reflect the intimacy and the personal relationship between me and my horse. The only criticism I've heard from the judges on the music, it does have a little bit more lyrics than some of the judges like. But the comment usually afterwards is, I don't usually like this many words, but in your case, it's okay. Because the words are so poignant and touching, and all of the music speaks about friendship and trust and relationship, and all of the lyrics are sung in a man's voice, except the center piece during the walk, which is, it switches to a woman's voice, and it's that piece that says that I love everything about you. And my favorite line is probably, I love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections, even when we lose, we're winning. And the relationship as it was between us, the freestyle spoke and speaks of it perfectly. Now I think it's time, I don't know if you saw, but during the victory gallop for the adult amateur freestyle, Alice Tarjan, who was the champion, graciously invited us to, me and the third place winner, to join her in a Passage and Piaf little freestyle of our own to the music during the victory gallop, which was a lovely and gracious thing and a heck of a lot of fun. And I learned by watching that how much more there is in my horse and how much more he really sparkles. And the last piece of music in my freestyle is a Boogie Shoes music. It's much more bright and brassy and upbeat, and we did that on purpose to end it on this real upbeat note. And when I look at the music, I go, okay, now we're ready to dance to that. Before, I was still learning, and we kind of needed the sweetness and the softness and the sinuous quality of the music to kind of, so that if it was a little underpowered, that's okay. You know, it's really about the relationship. Now it's time to put on my big girl pants, and it's time for Finney to put on his dancing shoes, and we're gonna put on the afterburners a little bit and step it up a notch. So it's a very deliberate recognition of who we are as a team and what we have to say to the judges now.
Well, I'm bound to ask you then, I'm sure everyone's curious as to what the music was before and what it will be after.
Oh, what the music was in the past? What
yes.
My other? Oh, it was Bruno Mars, You Can Count on Me, like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know that I can count on you, like 4, 3, 2, because that's what friends are for. That was the first music. Barry White was the intro, saying, "We got this, baby. You and me, we got it together." These are, again, all in a man's voice. Do You Believe in Magic? Let's see. Stand By Me, you know. And as I said, the centerpiece of give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. And then the finale is, the lyrics are, "Girl, to be with you is my favorite thing. I just want to boogie with you." So, here I get choked up. Even now, I've heard it a million times. It's in my head. I could recite every note in it. It still moves me because it's all so true. And it really is who he is. So the next music will be more on the theme of the boogie music, the dancing music, the, you know, the bright, like just the joy that this horse brings to me, and more, less about, a little bit less about the tenderness and the sweetness, and a lot more about the enthusiasm and the zeal and the joy of what the fun of having a great partner and getting to share that with other people.
Well, what a lovely story, Candy, and congratulations again on achieving that title of Reserve Champion in Grand Prix Freestyle Adult Amateur at the US Dressage Finals. And thank you for taking the time to come on the program and sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Chris. Totally my pleasure.
And with just a week to go to this year's Adequan USDF Annual Convention, the USDF would like to remind you to take advantage of the reduced advance online registration rate by registering before November 28th, and the link can be found on the front page at usdf.org. And also, the membership year ends on Monday, November the 30th, so if you have not already done so, please go to the website usdf.org and renew your USDF participating membership. Those who renew by December 31st will receive a $10 gift certificate from Dover Saddlery, and only members who renew by that date will receive the 2015 yearbook issue of USDF Connection magazine. All members who renew for 2016 will also enjoy savings with USDF Member Perks partners. To find out more about this program, please go to usdf.org. The USDF would like to thank all of our listeners for being part of the American dressage community and wish you all and your family a safe and happy Thanksgiving. On that note, we will end this week's program. And as always, of course, you can find out more about us at the website at usdf.org, and also check out eTrack, the online educational resource, right there on the front page. To listen to this episode on the go, you can download it from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.